The Zaire EP from one of the leading figures in the Italian Afro-futuristic musical scene.
From November 12th to December 2nd, one of North America's major documentary film festivals will take place.
Montreal International Documentary Festival.
RIDM.
A 23rd edition, more engaged and accessible than ever.
In a virtual format never seen before.
The program includes the 100 best documentaries of the year.
This fall, we will be online, where all stories meet.
And you?
Check out our website at RIDM.ca.
When your parents need your help, you're there. When your kids say something's wrong, you're there. When your friends have a rough day, you're there. Be there for yourself the way you're there for others, as it's normal for these uncertain times to bring out negative emotions or anxiety. If you're finding it difficult to carry out daily tasks, there are solutions. Visit quebec.ca/gettingbetter or call Info Social 811. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Revolution.
The funk.
Revolution.
The funk.
CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
For your mind and for your hips, this is music and sounds from the mothership. The mothership cassette archives. 25 years of funky revolutions.
Music originated from the confrontation of the struggle. So the roots really is from matter of struggle. That's where it's from. Freedom. That's what it's asking for. Acceptance. What it needs. And understanding.
You know, the funk is definitely a music that comes from your heart. And it's a music that's a continuum of the African presence in the urban world. But it comes from your heart and is informed by your mind. And once you create the balance of those energies, you can make somebody get it. You dig?
The Mothership Cassette Archives, celebrating 25 years of funky revolutions. We continue with our series from the winter of 2019, Funk Jazz and the Meanings of Afrofuturism. On episode 30, part 9. Afrofuturism 2.0 and Black Speculative Thought, featuring an interview with Dr. Rinaldo Anderson.
We continue on Funky Revolutions, myself, Khalid, in conversation with Dr. Rinaldo Anderson, one of the leading exponents of Afrofuturism 2.0, academic, activist, and scholar, creator, who is also a founding member of the Black Speculative Arts Movement. On CKUT 90.3 FM, we got a chance to talk about the geopolitical and political aspects of this movement and Afrofuturism, its evolution. On CKUT 90.3, we continue with Dr. Rinaldo Anderson.
Political context for Afrofuturism, and can we simply say that it's about a liberatory movement, or is it more complex than that?
I would say it's more complex than that, and I think it's a response to the current kind of climate that's in the world now. We're back to an era now of geopolitics instead of what people used to call international relations. It's geopolitics that's going to be driving a lot of Afrofuturism at the grassroots level here for the next several years. And what I mean by geopolitics, the world is organizing itself into different blocks of influence, and each of these different competing blocks of interest are going to also influence the populations of where people live. I think the more positive aspect of Afrofuturism being part of that is maybe to, from our perspective, is to kind of finish the decolonization process, and to complete some of the unfinished business that was started in the 60s and 70s, but was cut short by assassination and repression. However, the complex part of it is you have to be mindful that it does not become xenophobic or embrace some other darker impulses along the way. But because social movements are kind of floppy, some of that individually may pop up from time to time. But the overall goal of the movement is would be to trend as a leftward impulse for the diaspora and people on the continent and the world at the moment.
At the beginning of my series, I looked at the concept of manifesto, the role of the art manifesto, the declaration, the manifestation of these ideas. You yourself have contributed. What for you is the importance of being able to state the manifest or what was the purpose of addressing the idea of a manifesto within the communities that you've been working with?
The importance of the manifesto was to come out with a declarative statement identifying the current historical moment. I guess earlier parallels might be, I remember W.B. Du Bois writes his manifesto in the mid-20s about black art. A few years later after that, Langston Hughes issued one. And then Larry Neal wrote one in the 1960s around black art. Or another way of looking at it outside of art is what Karl Marx did with the Communist Manifesto, which was not his most important work, but it was a work that was developed to kind of send a signal to the proletariat in Europe about the politics of the moment and why it was time for them to consider some alternatives to their present situation. And so, because the tradition in the Western world, or particularly in North America, in the last couple of days, was a couple of decades, was to promote an apolitical form of art, art for art's sake, I wrote the manifesto as a signal that we were going to make art or aesthetic political again, and that it was going to be sort of a roadmap for black artists to send a signal that, hey, we need to really kind of develop some alternative visions and concepts around aesthetics and technology to put out there.
Are you calling for a more conscious development of that political-social interaction?
I'm only calling for one, people who are consciously interested in it or whatever. I'm not interested, and nor are we particularly interested in organizing all black artists. I mean, for example, artists are notoriously hard to organize anyway. We're not interested in organizing all black artists. Some of them, they're free to go whichever way they want. I just know what we're dealing with. Sometimes art for some people is highly personal and individual, but one of the things I always argue is what we're building with the way we're dealing with aesthetics and art is deal with the historical existence of white supremacy in the arts and politics. And one of the things I argue is that white supremacy is a cultural and aesthetic system, and it takes a system to oppose a system. And so the Black Speculative Arts Movement is in the process of organizing a system to oppose the system of white supremacy as it relates to the arts, aesthetics, and politics. And so I don't really worry about what individual artists who want to do something unique on their own, that's fine. And that's always the... and blackness itself is always a moving signifier. It's not fixed. So I don't worry about what individual artists think of their work in relation to what they're doing. And I also know that some will simply adopt the terminology for commercialized reasons simply because it will give them the opportunity to get more of their work exposed. We're dealing with systems, and we're trying to build a system to deal with a system of anti-blackness. Individuals seldom are able to overcome systems. They have to be organized to do so.
From the back streets of London to the dusty villages in the Suka, from time before time to time past, and sunny day and rainy night, truth, the same truth for which we fall, long term, longevity, everlasting, timeless. Yes, we might be worn out, surely we might be rough around the edges, but we inspire the generations. Create, recycle, renew. The energy never dies, eternal. That's where our inspiration comes from, and how can the synonym be forgotten? For surely, it's in our genes like boxing shorts. When we are told about how short our life is, this art is our only retort. This creation of nothing to something, we are gods. This is our Eden. We shall live forever. Like a pair of old jeans, I say. Like a pair of old jeans.
Kid Marley and Payback. picking up the call to action. A new song called War Cry, taken from a trilogy compilation from Non-Worldwide. Really quite an interesting compilation with some avowedly Afrofuturist artists as well as reflections of more contemporary and the larger expansive sense of where music electronically and in terms of diasporic elements are going. On CKUT 90.3 FM, my name is Khalid, and I'd like to thank Dr. Ronaldo Anderson for participating in a second interview because I lost the first one. It was corrupted. I'm staring, in fact, at a file that's rather large but doesn't play back with any sound. On CKUT 90.3 FM, I do have a little bit more from Dr. Anderson. I'm going to reserve it because we talked about the Canadian scene and what's happening here up in Canada as we move in the next few weeks at looking at some of the events actually within the Afrofuturist world happening here in Montreal, especially on next week's program. On CKUT 90.3 FM, as you heard Dr. Anderson, it's been part of the thematic. What is blackness? How to define it? What is the diaspora? And what are the parallels and relationships to be brought out through the history between the Americas and Africa? And the politics and evolving situation for the development of black speculative arts. Recently, we played from last year's album, The Last Poets, had come back with an album called Understand What Black Is. Just last week, they released a dubbed version of that album. This is their dubbed version with Prince Fatty doing it, dubbing it. Understand What Black Is from the album Understand What Dub Is from The Last Poets on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
It's not a color. It is a reflection. Understand what black is. We'll be right back.
it by understand what black is.
Just released last week, after last year's original. The album is called Understand What Dub Is, and the title track to the original album, Understand What Black Is, from The Last Poets. This is CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name is Khalid. You, of course, are tuned to the People's Power Station, and particularly the Mothership Connection, Funky Revolutions. We'll come back with a little more from Dr. Anderson, or Dr. Rinaldo Anderson. You can check him out, his own website, rinaldoanderson.com. And as well for the Black Speculative Arts Movement, their site, bsam-art.com, bsam-art.com, as well as the Black Speculative Arts Movement Canada Facebook page as well. We'll be back right after these brief messages on Funky Revolutions.
18 hammers falling in our lives. It ain't no hammer yet. Ring like mine.
Yeah! Funky Revolutions. For the fattest of the funk and other liberation musics. Saturdays, 2 to 4 p.m. Pure funk and the shuffle of people marching in the streets. On CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Everything I do gonna be funky.
Revolution. Yo. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out.
Indeed you are, as we take you into the last half hour of the flight of this mothership. Part 9, our series on Afrofuturism. Part 9, Afrofuturism 2.0 and the Black Speculative Arts Movement, a conversation with Dr. Rinaldo Anderson. In 2016, as I mentioned earlier at the top, he, with Charles E. Jones, edited Afrofuturism 2.0, The Rise of Astro-Blackness. The purpose of the book, they wrote in their introduction, was to identify the applicability of contemporary expressions of Afrofuturism to the field of Africana studies, to connect these phenomena to other fields of academic inquiry, and to expand it to include what we've referred to as astro-blackness. They define astro-blackness as a Afrofuturistic confining concept in which a person's black state of consciousness, released from the confining and crippling slave or colonial mentality, becomes aware of the multitude and varied possibilities and probabilities within the universe. More precisely, they write, astro-blackness represents the emergence of a black identity framework within emerging global technocultural assemblages, migration, human reproduction, algorithms, digital networks, software platforms, biotechnical augmentation, and are constitutive of racialized identities that are increasingly materialized vis-a-vis contemporary technological advances or technogenesis, the idea that humans and techniques have co-evolved together. They further write that, furthermore, this notion of astro-blackness suggests a shift from the modern era or nation-state-bound analog notion of blackness, transitioning through a digitalized era toward and in tension with post-digital perspectives as a global response to the planetary and near-planetary challenges facing black life in the early 21st century. What is presently called Afrofuturism was originally a technocultural perspective accompanying engagement in form of cultural production, originating in practices of black urban dwellers in North America after World War II. And popular examples emerged in the works of jazz musician Sun Ra and artists of the black arts movement like Ishmael Reed or Amiri Tabaraka. Going to the roots, this is one of the infinite versions of Astro Black from Sun Ra and his Infinite Orchestra on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Thank you.
Astro Black, Sun Ra and his Infinity Orchestra, one of the many recordings of that song that has been part of their repertoire, or was part of their repertoire for decades. On CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, many thanks to Dr. Anderson for his time in conversation on Afrofuturism 2.0. Again, if you're interested in more about the Black Speculative Arts Movement, check out the site bsam-art.com, as well as the Canadian branch Facebook page, Black Speculative Arts Movement Canada. They have a forthcoming event in Montreal, in fact, this September. I'll keep you up to date. I'll return to some of my conversation with Dr. Anderson when we return, looking at some of the Canadian aspects. We ended our conversation on looking at Afrofuturists here in Canada. On CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, I did want to go and look at some of the speculative artwork and this joining of the diasporic elements and this evolution of the futurist, Afrofuturist phenomenon, filter. The first artist I'd like to look at has been around for a number of years, from Sierra Leone. He is an avowed Afrofuturist, works in Berlin and as well as New York. The producer explores, has worked with Solange recently, remixing some of her work. His electronic foundation as a producer and an artist essentially is trying to make music that explores questions of movement, migration, alienation, and belonging.
Some of his most recent work is specifically about sci-fi and fantasy. His most recent album was released, or EP or album, in 2018 was Brancusi Sculpting Beyonce. A guy to watch in terms of his electronic works, as well as his concern with, well, exploring these astral blackness visions. This is The Black God Cries Sometimes Too, from Lamine Fofana on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. work of Victor Gamma, based in Angola. Instrument creator, producer, electronically inclined and exposed, based in Angola, as I say. He works with a number of community projects, creating different kind of technical sounds, but really a very interesting project that starts with the instrumentation itself and the creation of new electronic instruments from based on some traditional African instrumentation as well. Quite interesting working in Angolan provinces since the late 1990s. Victor Gamma from an interesting compilation second for today's program called The Anthology of Contemporary Music from Africa. We heard Alucia Inicia. Started with Lamine Fofana, Sierra Leonez, based in Berlin and New York. The Black God Cries Sometimes Too. Some really interesting Afrofuturist work. Another person working in the United States of Nigerian origin, and he balances the two in his explicitly Afrofuturistic creations as well. Robert Akai Aubrey Lewis. The newest album is called Two Orb Real. We heard Inner Zone, Bureau, Desk, and then just a little bit of Flying Lotus there with Tom York from 2010's Cosmogramma, and The World Laughs With You before Victor Gamma. On CKUT 90.3 FM, been a pleasure to be with you again, exploring this series, Funk Jazz and the Meanings of Afro Jazz. Our part 10 of the series is next week, and it falls really at a good time for Montreal because of the actual performance of a series called Black Art Movement at the Mai, which starts next April 12th and runs till the 27th of the month. Brings together some very explicitly Afrofuturist projects in events featuring community events, dance, performance, and screenings at the Mai, Montreal Interculturel. You can get more about the programming, which we'll start to discuss next week, at mai.qc.ca. Among some of the highlights performing are the Seancers project with Jamil Alowale Kasoko out of New York, I believe, and a Canadian now working in Paris, conceptual artist, performance artist. She brings her Afrofuturist exploration, Afro Galactica, to the city in the third week of April. So on next week's program, the Black Art Empowerment, part 10 of our series on the meanings of Afrofuturism, and looking at some of the this series, Black Art Empowerment, and some of the Afrofuturists performing here in Montreal in the course of the next month or so. On CKUT 90.3 FM, as we begin to end the flight of the mothership, I wanted to bring you to an album which deals with the past, the present, and some of the future as well, specifically in terms of hip-hop. The album is called Lessons in Hip-Hop. It's the newest project from Double D and Steinsky. Their mixological visions start with, well, the influences and roots, the funk at the source of hip-hop, lessons in James Brown, a number of the iconic figures of hip-hop and the groove, thinkers as well. This, though, is, well, you'll see where it comes from. In terms of what we've been exploring in Afrofuturism and the development of new paradigms, epistemologies, and philosophies and speculations, this is Your Reality's a Fantasy from Lessons in Hip Hop, Double D, and Steinsky on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
It's we going under. Yeah, is we going under? Is we going under? Yeah, is we going under? Is we going under? Yeah, is we going under? Is we going under? Yeah, is we going under?
just history. Why you dissing me? Ain't no mystery. On the outside, peeking in. Into your free ride. The way you can win. Win. Face to the left, the left, the left, the left, the left, the left, the left. Face to the left, the left, face to the left, the left, the left, the left, the left, the left, the left. This is Chuck D. Face to the left, the left, the left, the left, the left, the left, the left. Face to the left, the left, face to the left, the left, the left, the left, the left, the left. Yo, who am I? Your reality's a fantasy, but your fantasy is killing me. Your reality's a fantasy, but your fantasy is killing me. Your reality's a fantasy, but your fantasy is killing me. Your reality's a fantasy, but your fantasy is killing me. Killing me, killing me, killing me, killing me. Is it real? Killing me, is it real? Killing me, can't you killing me?
One of the alter egos, in fact, of California, producer, composer, and instrumentalist working out of Oakland, William Ryan Fritch. The persona is Vio Abiyungo, one of his many personas as he develops an album called The Dregs, which sonically explores some of the ruins of colonization. It touches on a theme that we might get to in the course of the next few weeks, and that's appropriations, as many artists reflect sounds and pastiches in compositions and a lot of this ethno field work, recordings and producing. But he has been described as somebody who has developed his own sonic Wakanda in a closer listen, an awe-inspiring and inclusive kingdom that could be real. We heard Picked Down to Its Bones. Some of the video work that has been released recently around this album includes images of colonial Africa mixed together in these sonorous landscapes that evoke some of the misery of colonialization in Africa. Before that, we heard from Lessons of Hip-Hop, Double D and Steinsky, their mixological history lessons and historiography with Your Reality's a Fantasy. I was Khalid, a pleasure to have been with you again. Come back next week as we begin to explore this little festival that's happening at the Montreal Art Interculturel, Black Arts Empowerment, with some real and true Afrofuturists performing. A young Canadian based in Paris that I mentioned earlier has a growing international reputation, Kapwani Kiwanga. She'll be presenting her Afro Galactica project. More on that next week. Reminding you, as usual, free your mind, our collective ass will follow. I'm going to leave you with a new project, an album just come out called The Loop from Shafiq Hussein. Here he collaborates with Erica Badu, Numbambi, and Asset So Savvy on Mrs. Crab Tree. See y'all next week.
Give Savannah good luck in the name of Double Dutch. G, B, G, B, G, B, G, B. Give tomorrow good luck. B, G, B, G, B, G, B. Give a K a good luck in the name of Double Dutch. G, B, G, B, G, B, G, B. Give you money good luck in the name of Double Dutch. G, B, G, B, G, B.
Don't keep doing it well. Might as well keep doing it well. If you can't tell where the gold diamonds dwell, no matter how obsolete, delete those spells. Put your hands up like you're asking for help. Take you to heaven, take you to hell. Take in your past degree, K to K to the 12. The education's a waste, the students they fail. The operations of nations replacing the hell. Inflation double station on the station as well. Communications, relations diminish the wealth. If you knew about health, you'd be doing yourself. If you knew it, you'd be doing it well. Well, keep it well. As well, keep it doing it well. Might as well keep it as if you're doing it well. You might as well keep it well. You know the witches casting spells. The double digit temperature swells. The double digit temperature swells. This is my dream.
Montreal, Canada.
It's time.
time to take sampling to a whole new level. Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. Welcome to West Indian Rhythms. My name is Howard Carr. And the co-host of the show,
Thief Sankar.
And along with the rest of the crew, DJ Nicholas. Special guest DJ. With the news,
Brian Amplified.
Welcome to West Indian Rhythms. On CKUT 90.3 FM, People's Station.